Hello and welcome to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Chava Baja. And before we start the podcast, I want to go ahead and apologize. I know that it has been about a month and a half since I last posted an episode. And I just want to let you know that, you know, if you listened to the previous podcast, I let you know that my voice was gone. Well, that kept going on for about a month and a half, where literally I couldn't vocalize a lot of words, so it would have been pointless for me to record. But as you can tell, my voice is pretty much back, so I will be going back to normal posting, normal recording. I will be posting, because the playoffs are starting, I'll be posting twice a week. But because I felt bad, because of not having posted in a while, I figured that I would reach out to one of our good friends of the podcast over at Clutch Talk. Our friend John, the main host at Clutch Talk, he decided that he was going to come on the Big Shot Pod, and we were going to go over everything that we needed to know heading into the playoffs. So I want to give a big thank you to John over at Clutch Talk. To my listeners, please head over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever you listen to your podcasts on, go on that. Search Clutch Talk. If you don't already follow them, give them a listen. They have great content. They talk about stuff like I do, going on stuff going around the league. They give interviews to previous professional players. They do a whole bunch of stuff over at Clutch Talk. So give them a listen, give them a follow. I'm sure that they'll appreciate that. I want to give, again, a big thank you to John at Clutch Talk. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. I wanted to give a nice treat to my listeners who unfortunately have not been able to listen to me recently. But now that I'm back, I wanted to give you guys a good pod with John where we discuss everything going on. So I think we did a good job there. So thank you again for that, John. Heads up, again, before I start, like I said, I am back for good now, so I will be posting regularly. I'm going to, because the playoffs are starting, I'm going to be posting twice a week, okay? Sometimes I'll post an emergency podcast here and there, but you can bank on me posting twice a week. So we will stay completely informed throughout the playoffs. But anyways, that's all I have to say for now. And again, thank you, John from Clutch Talk. And so here is a fun podcast between me and John at Clutch Talk. Enjoy.
All right, NBA fan. So here I am with John from Clutch Talk. John, how are you doing? It's been a while since we last spoke.
Man, I'm doing good, bro. Yeah, it's been a while. But, you know, I had to get back on here with my guy, Big Shot, man. I'm happy to be on here with you. We got a lot to talk about, bro. We just seen two exciting games, but I'm happy to be on here, man. I'm happy to talk some hoop with my guy.
Yeah, same here. So let's jump right into it. So let's start with the first game we saw today. Today was the start of the play-in. So we got to see We got to see the Nets play today. They beat the Cavs. So the Nets are going to play against the Celtics here in the first round. So looking at the Celtics versus the Nets, the Celtics have been really hot, maybe the hottest team in the NBA in the year 2022. The Nets, I mean, they've filled us all with a bunch of questions and doubts. So, but here in this last game against the Cavs, they look pretty good. So between the Celtics and the Nets, who you got?
You know what, man, as much firepower as the Nets have, and I mean, we just seen it. We just seen it firsthand. We saw Kyrie and KD both not even miss a shot in the first half. And Kyrie missed three shots the entire game. But you know what, to be real with you, man, they didn't win that game by a comfortable margin, man. They really had to scratch that out against a young Cavs team who, mind you, did not have Jared Allen, a huge vital piece to what they do, like an extremely vital piece, both on the offensive end and on the defensive end. And they didn't really have a comfortable commanding win for me to feel good going against a team like the Celtics that really, really since they after they got Derek White has been rolling, man. I know that early in the season, the Celtics kind of got off to a slower start. People didn't know if Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum were going to work out. But since they got Derek White to be that facilitating point guard to kind of run the show, they really took off. So, you know, to answer your question, man, I think that I think that for the Nets to win, it would Kyrie and KD would need to have heroic performances like this almost every game. And to be real with you, as great players as they are, I don't know how sustainable that is to a 7-game series. The Celtics, in my opinion right now, are just looking like a deeper team. If Ben Simmons comes back now, listen, now that's a different situation, because Ben Simmons is a great all-time defender, could be a great point guard. I just can't shoot, you know, run the floor. But to answer your question, I got to go with the Celtics in this one, man. But how about you, my guy? How you feeling?
First off, I want to say I don't want to hear any more Ben Simmons is coming back for the playoffs. Come on. He hasn't played in like a year almost. He's going to go from not playing anything. He's had one lousy practice where he had his phone in his pocket. That's the only practice he's had all year long. And you're going to say that he's going to go from that to, you know, all of a sudden his mental health problems are all gone. Everything is solved. And now he's going to jump right into the playoffs against the Celtics. And, you know, he's not a shooter or anything, but he's a defender. And that takes a lot of moving and stuff, you know, so that's not easy on your knees or on your back or anything coming back from injury. So you're going to tell me that, you know, you're just going to ease him into the playoffs again, or into the playoffs, yeah, against the Celtics, you know, against having to guard Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown or even Marcus Smart would be really hard to guard, you know, coming off an injury. So, you know, I don't want to hear any more about Ben Simmons. That's just so unrealistic to me. You know, unless he's been like really practicing and, you know, going all out, and which, you know, that is what some reports are saying. I read a report saying that Ben Simmons feels like Jordan because he's walking around the facility and he's playing so well. So, I mean, I don't know how true that is, but yeah, I mean, so I'm not going to count Ben Simmons in that, but I mean, looking at Kyrie and KD today, they look like a completely different team. You know, they ended the first quarter, I think it was 40-22 or 42-22, something like that. I mean, if they can play like that, or at least close to that, throughout the playoffs, you know, they can go hard. But the bad news for them is they have to play the Celtics. And like I said, they're the hottest team right now. They're top five in defense, offense. Jason Tatum is playing out of his mind. You know, their defense, like I said, top five. I mean, Marcus Smart is playing really well. Now, good news is that Robert Williams is out for the Celtics. So who knows how much different they're going to play, how much that affects their defense, because he's a really good defensive big. So it's, you know, I'm really interested to see how this goes. I'm going to say the Celtics in six, just because I'm trying to be realistic, but I would like to see the Nets come out of this in seven. Ooh. If it was up to me, which I think is what's going to have to happen if they do beat the Celtics. I think that they're going to have to do a whole 7-game series. But I just don't see it happening. You know, I think that the Celtics are going to pull it out. Did you say who you have?
You know, I have Celtics. I agree with you, Celtics in six, but I do want to add this little caveat that, you know, as you were talking, it kind of really got me thinking. If it comes down to a game seven, I think the Nets are going to pull it off. I mean, KD's out there, right? You know, okay. That's as much as I think KD is insecure, soft, and all of this for his off the court dramas. But I mean, they got KD, the man who knows how to put the ball in the basket. They got Kyrie Irving. I mean, we just seen what Kyrie Irving does out there. In a one game off, like if it's a seven game, the seventh game, I definitely think the Nets are going to be able to pull it off. But I don't even think the Celtics are going to let it get there, man. But yeah, that's how I feel. I think Celtics in six.
Yeah, it's a tough one. But like you said, it is KD, it is Kyrie. Those are probably the two guys that you would want, you know, out of anyone in the whole league, you know, for a game seven. So if they can push it to a game seven, absolutely. But yeah, it's up to, you know, Kyrie and KD. How far can they take them? Kyrie today was ridiculous. He was shooting 12 of 12 from the field, and then he missed his next three shots today. But still amazing. So yeah, I also have the Celtics. So let's go ahead and move on to the Bucks and the Bulls. Now, this is a really, I'm going to say disappointing one. You know, this is when, you know, earlier in the season, I would have been really hyped up to watch the Bucks versus the Bulls. But the Bulls just haven't been themselves, you know, really since All-Star break. They just can't seem to beat a good team. Now going into the playoffs, you know, that's all that's left are good teams. Do you see the Bulls being able to make this a competitive series, or do you just see this as an easy win for the Bucks?
Man, as much as I wanted my Bulls, now I'm not gonna say my Bulls because I'm a Lakers fan, but as much as I wanted to see the Bulls do good, man, because you know, come earlier in the season, and you know, I'm on my podcast, you know, quick plug, you know, shout out Clutch Talk real quick, you know, go check out the podcast. When we did an early season preview, I had the Bulls sitting high. I had the Bulls in like the second to third seed, and they weren't letting me down. I mean, DeMar, Zach, Lonzo. So Patrick Williams, Vooch, that team was rolling, and injuries happened, COVID happened. And like how you mentioned, after All-Star break, they just could not beat any good teams. And the one glaring deficiency since the beginning of the year, what was it? No big man. And I really was pushing for a Jusuf Nurkić or just getting somebody before the trade deadline. Yet they got Tristan Thompson, right? That's just not going to cut it. Tristan Thompson just isn't that guy anymore. He's just not going to cut it. So unfortunately, man, I think that this was the absolute worst matchup that the Bulls could have got, because they struggle guarding big men. The Bucks are a bunch of trees in there, and they have one big man by the name of Giannis Antetokounmpo who can just do about anything out there. So, man, hey, my guy, unfortunately, as much as I want to see the Bulls do good, man, this is just not the year. I'll be surprised if the Bulls even pull off a game, to be honest with you. That might even sound a little disrespectful. So maybe I'll say Bucks in five, just because DeMar, he's been balling out. You know, I don't want to put it past him, man, but I just want to throw this out there, though. Earlier in the season, when the Bucks and the Bulls played, DeMar had a great game, but Bulls still got blown out. So I don't think that there's anything the Bulls can do here. I think this is try your best out there, and then get ready for next season with a healthy roster.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. I think it's going to be a gentleman's sweep. I think it's going to be a five-game series. You know, unfortunately, without Lonzo Ball, I think that, you know, this Chicago Bulls team is just a shell of itself. You know, Lonzo to me is the guy that's, you know, able to orchestrate everything and make sure, you know, that the ball gets to where it needs to go. Without that, you know, they still have, you know, other players that can do that, but, you know, not to the level that Lonzo Ball does. DeMar DeRozan has been incredible. You know, I would put him on an all NBA team. I would put him probably on third or second. But, you know, they need more than that. You know, their defense isn't that great lately. You know, like you said, they've had injuries across the board. It's been incredible. You know, but, you know, like I said, I think it's going to be a five-game series, maybe even a sweep. I'm kind of feeling exactly like you are. You know, I just have no faith in them whatsoever. I do think that the games are going to be close, just because I think that DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine are going to will the team to, you know, at least make it a competitive game in most of the games. But, yeah, I see the games – you know, being relatively easy for the Bucks. I think it's going to be a nice warm-up for the Bucks, basically. So next up, we have my team. Now, I was going into this playoffs. I was going in so excited. Everything was going great. The team, this is the most wins we've had since 2011. You know, everything, you know, Mavs fans were in cloud nine. And then all of a sudden, we're in the last game of the series against the Spurs. Of course, it always seems to be against the Spurs when we get some sort of injury like this. But in the fourth quarter, Luka Doncic, he had a non-contact injury to his calf. So now he had an MRI today. So he was ruled to have a calf strain. So they didn't really give us much info today. So the Mavs might have to go into this series without Luka for the first two games or so. Maybe. Now, he could come back and just be relatively, you know, he could be 100% and ready to go and he could kick some ass. Or we might have to, you know, wait some game. We Mavs fans are going to have to wait to watch Luka play until like game three or something like that. Now, good news is there are 5 days until the playoffs. So that gives him some good rest. And from what I see, you know, he's rehabbing the entire time. Looking at this, the Mavs against Utah. Mavs, like I said, have been really right there with the Celtics when it comes to teams being on fire. They are right next to the Celtics when it comes to wins record wise. Defense has been really improved against Utah, who, you know, has diminished. You know, their chemistry is awful. You know, there's new reports every day about, you know, Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert or some of these guys not getting along. Quinn Snyder, the head coach, he has not decided to re-sign with the Jazz, which, you know, that's got to be a sign right there that there's problems going on. So looking at all that, Joe Ingles was traded, just a whole bunch of stuff going on at Utah. So looking at Utah versus Dallas with the possibility of Luka being out, maybe a couple games or maybe not, you know, but looking at this series, who do you see coming out of it to go to the next round, Mavs or the Jazz?
Man, I'm so sorry about what happened to Luka, man. And especially being a Mavs fan, my guy, that hurts because, I mean, you know, all-star players for their teams do so much, but I feel like Luka's on a whole nother. Luka does practically everything for that team, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, thank the Lord for Spencer Dinwiddie coming in, and he's been mm-hmm. balling out. Thank the Lord for the emergence of Jalen Brunson, who's been really helping them stay afloat. But I think that if Luka's presence is not there for the first two games, that's going to force Dallas Mavericks to have to play a completely different game. It's a whole different thing when Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie are getting off because Luka's on the court and the defense is focusing on Luka, and Luka is just picking him apart, finding open Spencer Dinwiddie's, finding open Jalen Brunson's. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd say it on my podcast all the time. Luka makes Maxi Kleber look like he's actually a good player out there. Put Maxi Kleber with another player, it will not look like he's got him rolling to the hoop, looking like a not gonna say an all-star, but a good big man, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that if the Dallas Mavericks have to go in the first two games without Luka and they drop those two games, that's gonna be a lot to come back from, man. I think that's gonna be a lot to come back from. So if that's the case, I would have the Jazz winning if Luka misses the first two games. But if Luka is there, and I'm talking even a 70 to 80% Luka Doncic, I think that the Jazz just got too many problems going on, man. Traded away too many players. They have their roster just isn't really the same anymore from what it used to be when they were that number one seed last year. So I would have to go with, I guess I'm riding the fence here, but if Luka plays, I got Dallas in about like six games. But if Luka doesn't play, I would say the Jazz in six, unfortunately, to be real with you.
Okay.
Yeah. How do you feel though? How do you feel? That's what I want to know.
I've been thinking about this and I can't figure out if it's just me being a homer or if it's me actually being, you know, realistic and, you know, neutral. But I think that Dallas has a good chance even without Luka. We've been playing really well. Our shooters have been incredible. It's amazing how different this team has been. You know, we basically have the same core for the last like 4 years, and we've sucked at defense. We haven't been very good, you know, overall. And now look at today and we're playing amazing. But Spencer Dinwiddie has been crucial. He is an all-star. He's doing the stuff that we wanted Kristaps Porzingis to do, and he never did. Spencer Dinwiddie's already hit two game winners, you know, since he got traded here. Kristaps Porzingis had zero the whole time he was here. But, you know, so Spencer Dinwiddie is amazing. He's another ball handler. Same with Jalen Brunson, another ball handler. He's going to get paid. You know, really, if Jalen Brunson really wants to get paid this offseason, like really extra paid, this is the opportunity for him. You know, if Luka Doncic is out for a couple games, right now Jalen Brunson should say, give me the ball. I'm going to take us to the promised land until Luka can get here. And maybe he can get even $30 million a year. I don't know. But, you know, that's some good motivation for him. But, yeah, I think that Dallas, I'm going to be optimistic and say that Luka does play. And I'm going to say that Dallas is going to win in six. If Luka doesn't play, I'm going to say the Mavs win in seven. So, you know, I'm going to go with that.
Okay, and hold on, but before we move on, now let me ask you, you know, you being a Mavs fan, so what are you willing to go up for Jalen Brunson? Because I know his contract is expiring this year, right? So what are you willing to give him? Because in my opinion, I think he's the reason why the Mavs stayed where they are when Luka when Luka went down. So I think I'm not going to say a max, but I mean whatever it is that he wants within a reasonable space, the Mavs have to give to him or he walks, and he is going to be big for any team. So what are you willing to go? I've heard some numbers called like 85 million. I've heard numbers even close up to 90. How are you feeling about that?
Man, that's tough. Cause you know, if Luka's salary goes into effect next season and he gets paid that $207 million. So, you know, you put that into effect plus Davis Bertans, he gets paid 80 million. So he's at 20 million a year. You know, you add Spencer Dinwiddie, he makes about almost another $20 million. So, you know, there's a couple guys, you know, Reggie Bullock makes 10 million, you know, it adds up, you know, whenever you put it together. So if you add Jalen Brunson around, let's say max 30 million, you're already way over the cap. So I would say I'd probably give him about $28 million a year tops. Okay. And that's pushing it. I don't know about that. That makes me really nervous. You know, if I had to, I would give him $28 million a year to stay. And, you know, at the very worst, if I do that, at least I can somewhat trade him or, you know, move some stuff around, but yeah, I can't let him go for nothing. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I just wanted to get a temperature on that. Okay.
We love Jalen Brunson here, but I was a big advocate before the trade deadline to trade Jalen Brunson. So, you know, I'm not, you know, sentimentally, you know, hanging on to Jalen Brunson, you know. But yeah, I mean, I'd like to keep him, but for the right price. Okay, so next we have the Warriors against the Nuggets. So now we have talking about another guy who puts the team on his back and does everything for his team, like you were saying about Luka. That guy is Nikola Jokic, who is, in my opinion, the MVP this season. But yeah, so we have Nikola Jokic along with his hobbled team against the Warriors, who have Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, who's actually been playing really well the last like four or five games. Steph Curry, who has not been playing, it's probably his seventh or eighth best season of his career this season is. So, you know, it's not horrible, but to his standards, it's not great. So we have the Warriors against the Nets. So looking at them, who do you have coming out of that series?
Man, you know what? Like I was talking about with the Bulls and Bucks, I think this is the absolute worst matchup that the Warriors could have got. The Warriors already lack of true big man. They really don't have, like, as much Warriors fans want to say, like, oh, Kevon Looney, the Iron Man played 82 games. Kevon Looney is gonna get ate up by Jokic and half the other bigs in the league. Okay, so I don't want to hear that. I need all the Warriors fans to shut that down, because Kevon Looney is going to get ate up. It's going to be a disaster out there for the Warriors. So, but in every other position, yeah, I mean, to be real, the Warriors got him. I mean, in every other position, the Warriors got him. But I'm just going to, you know, go out here on a limb, man. I don't want people to think I'm hating or nothing like that, but I just don't. I just genuinely don't know if the Warriors are going to be able to handle all that Jokic has. And if you dare throw the double towards Jokic, and you're going to have to throw the double. If you dare, that is the most elite passing big man that we have seen in the league for some time now. So if you dare throw that double, Jokic is just going to simply find his open teammates. And while I agree, they might not be the best teammates that he has out there with him, but these are NBA players, man. If they got a wide open shot, there's nothing in my mind that doesn't give me the full confidence that they're going to be able to knock that down, man. So if the Warriors continue to struggle like the way they have. I mean, I know earlier in the season, they got off to a good start, and then they really kind of started struggling with some injuries. Klay Thompson had to find his rhythm, and we'll see if he's really found that rhythm or not. I know he had a good game last game of the season. But again, that's, kind of end of the season type thing, man. But I guess to answer your question, I would say, man, Nikola Jokic is just going to give the Warriors, it's just going to wreak havoc on the Warriors. And if it ends up going to a game seven, just like that Nets situation, I don't think that the Warriors are going to be able to handle a player like Jokic. So I'm going to go Nuggets in seven if they can bring it there, man. But if they can't bring it there, then it might have to be Warriors in six, unfortunately. I really don't want that, though, man. I really don't.
Wow. So you have the Nuggets winning,
man,
against the Warriors?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I really have strong belief in Jokic, man. And because you simply cannot send a double to him. Mm. And Kevon Looney, let's be real, man. He's going to get ate up. And there's no answer. James Wiseman, is he coming back? Where is he? Right, he's not coming back. I like him a lot, but
yeah, they ruled him out actually, so he's not coming back.
He's out. I like him a lot, but there you go. He's ruled out. And even if he was, he's a young guy. Jokic would eat him up. So, man, to be real with you, the Warriors, they definitely have the advantage. But if they continue to struggle the way they have been, if Klay Thompson continues to look frustrated out there, I know before that big game he had, he definitely looked frustrated, looked like he was trying to get back to his old self, but he just couldn't do it. Wasn't getting as many looks as he wanted. Curry looked like he was forcing, trying to give Klay looks. So I know it sounds crazy, man, but I'm going to go with the hot take on this one, and I'm going to go with the Denver Nuggets, man. Jokic is just going to be too much. There's no bigs on the Warriors, no true big.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. And yeah, I think that is a hot take. I as much as I want to believe in Jokic, because, I find a lot of similarities between him and Luka, and Luka's my favorite player, obviously. I really want to see Jokic succeed, but I just don't see it. I do see him giving the Warriors hell, and I do see it being a very competitive game between them both. But I got to see the Warriors come out, because, really what I would do is, if there's just nothing you can do about the guy, just, all right, let him get his, let him get his points, let him do whatever. But, let me guard these other guys. And, without these other guys, he can't get those assists. And, he's just basically, counting on himself. So that's what I would have to do. I would have to just concentrate on everyone else and, let Jokic do what he's got to do. But, I have to make it difficult, at least for everyone else. But, yeah, I got the Warriors coming out of this. I think the Warriors are going to win probably in six games, maybe even five games is how I see the Warriors coming out of this one. Jokic just has too much responsibility, and that's too much for anyone, and at a certain point, that can get you so far. And the Warriors, even if they're not playing so hot, they still have good players, who can get the job done. Jordan Poole has been incredible this season, who I think should probably be the most improved player of the year. I'm just gonna have to go with the Warriors. So next up, we have another fun series. That one is between Philadelphia and Toronto. Now, this is a really interesting one. Philly just had that, crazy trade with the Nets. They finally got rid of Ben Simmons. But And now they have James Harden, but they also had to get rid of Seth Curry and Andre Drummond. So Philly is really struggling depth-wise. James Harden, I don't know if it's his injury. I don't know if, you know, it's the system, if it's the coach, or if he's just old, you know, but he's just not looking the same. Joel Embiid is angry because he's maybe not going to get the MVP. So yeah, basically trouble in paradise over in Philadelphia. So looking at Philly against Toronto, who just seems to be, Toronto really seems to be like the Spurs of the East, but you know, just that team that just won't go away, you know, as much as you want him to, you know, rebuild or, you know, do something, you know, they're still always right there, you know. So we got Philly against Toronto. I think this is going to be a lot more difficult for Philly than we think. But looking at Philly and Toronto, who do you have running away with this series?
All right. So I've actually been hearing that a lot. And so I'm going to flip it on you. I want you to tell me why you think this is going to be like, I understand it's not going to be a cakewalk for Philly, but I mean, Joel Embiid, at the level he's been playing at, and I mean, we'll get to the MVP later. I know you said you have Jokic. I have Joel Embiid. We'll get to it a little bit later. But I don't see a single body on the Raptors that is really going to be able to hold a Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid has been playing insane. Nothing knocks from Jokic. But Joel Embiid, the way he's been playing, man, has been insane, inside out, doing it all. And I just think he's just way too much of a big body. So tell me, what is it that, you know, makes you think that the Raptors are going to give the 76ers fits, especially with them now having James Harden with them?
Well, the Raptors are a really good team. You know, if you look at it, they're good defensively. They have good rotation. They have good players. Scottie Barnes is really in your face with defense. Fred VanVleet is a good defender as well. Now, they do have that weakness where they don't have a big, really. Who are you going to put on Joel Embiid? You know, Kem Birch? You know, that's not going to work. So, you know, I think that that's almost going to have to be along the lines of what I was talking about for the Warriors against Jokic, where they might just have to let him get his and focus more on everyone else. You know, Philly doesn't have that depth like I talked about. You know, other than Joel Embiid, what bigs, you know, do they have? You know, when you look at Philly, you know, they don't have much outside of shooters, outside of James Harden. They got rid of they have Danny Green, but they don't have Seth Curry. Seth Curry was huge for the Sixers. Huge. You know, that's why I said, when I saw that the Nets ran away, not only with Seth Curry, but with Andre Drummond, like I said, Drummond, you know, he was playing well for Joel Embiid when Joel Embiid wasn't able to play in those games. Andre Drummond played really well.
The Nets robbed the 76ers. That was highway robbery.
Yeah. And then now with the whole thing that Philly has to pay James Harden here in the offseason, I don't envy the Sixers right now. But yeah, like I said, they don't have shooting. Who are they going to rely on? You know, Matisse Thybulle to hit a big shot. You know, Tyrese Maxey has been great, but with James Harden there, his numbers have gone down because he doesn't have the ball as much. So it's also going to be a little bit of, you know, the Sixers stumbling on themselves, I think, you know, because they haven't been together that long. And to put a guy in like James Harden, who's going to be holding the ball for what, 40% of the time, at least for the Sixers, you know, that takes time to adjust for all the players and stuff. So, you know, and then with the whole thing with James Harden, like I said, you know, he's either injured or he's old. I think he's getting old. I wouldn't want to pay him that money that I was just talking about. But yeah, you know, James Harden, you know, he doesn't have those shooters, like I said, either. And, you know, he's one of those guys that distributes, but he distributes obviously to 3-point shooters. So, you know, he's kind of like a bailout assist guy, you know, where he drives, and then he kicks it out. The Sixers don't have that many guys to kick out to other than Danny Green. And
That's it.
Tyrese Maxey.
I got you.
He's not going to get his numbers either. So, you know, yeah, that's why I think it's going to be Toronto. I think is going to pull it out in either six or seven is what I think.
I like that. I'm not gonna lie. I like how you you backfired to me because I even my co-host, he even said the same thing. He's like, man, I don't think people should be sleeping as much on the Raptors, but he also lives in Canada, so
a little bit of a bias
to take. Yeah. Right? But I don't. So I definitely agree with everything that you're saying. But I've been watching a lot of Sixers again this year, man. And I just think that dominance on both ends. I think that Joel Embiid could genuinely have a case for Defensive Player of the Year, in my opinion. He could have a place for Defensive Player of the Year. He could, in my opinion, he's the MVP. He led the league in scoring. It's honestly extremely impressive. And I just think that he's just the most dominant, presence right now in the league, probably right there close to Giannis. And I just don't see, in my opinion, realistically, anybody that's going to really on that Raptors team going to be able to hold him. He's going to get his, like how you mentioned, it might be one of those situations where you get yours and you kind of let other people get theirs and you let it go like that. But as much as James Harden hasn't performed in the playoffs, bro, like, he's still James Harden, bro. Like, he's still one of the most versatile. I'm not going to say versatile. He's still one of the most crazy scorers, like, of all time, right? Like, I get it. You know, he does a little hook arm thing and people get on for that. And I agree. It's kind of annoying. But, hey, man, that's how you play the game. You know what I'm saying? If you need to get to the foul line, those points count too. So, you know, he does that. So, I really, really am leaning on a lot of that Joel Embiid and James Harden pick and roll. There's going to be high pick and rolls. You can't double Harden because that's a Joel Embiid dump off. He could shoot a mid range. He could even stretch the floor. He could go for the lob. You definitely can't leave James Harden wide open. You know, as much as he has not performed in the playoffs, still James Harden. You know what I'm saying? Still one of a great scorer. So that's why I'm going to go with the 76ers. I'm going to go with the 76ers in seven. You know, I definitely think it'll be a game that'll go down to the wire, but I think the Sixers are going to be able to pull that one off. But I hear what you're saying on the Raptors, though. I hear what you're saying, my guy.
Yeah, and I didn't even mention James Harden, how bad he is in the playoffs. I don't care how much you support James Harden. If you look at through history, how he's performed in the playoffs, I mean, you almost have to expect him to do the same here in these playoffs. So add that on top of everything that I said. So yeah, I got the Raptors. So next up, we have a battle of the youngins. It's going to be the Grizzlies against the Wolves. Now this is going to be really fun to watch. I'm really excited to see John Morant against Anthony Edwards. That's going to be crazy seeing them go up and down the court. But yeah, I mean, the Wolves revived franchise, they look ecstatic, you know, to be competing on the floor. I mean, they used to look depressed when they would play. Now they actually look like they're having fun. Pat Beverly, like we saw tonight, he's been a really big part of them. You know, the energy that they have on the defensive end. You know, Cat has had one of his best years of his career, if not his best. You know, you have the Grizzlies, who, you know, everyone thought was a fluke at the beginning, that they were second in the West. It's just let the season go on and they're going to fall. And, you know, they never fell. And, you know, even without John Morant, they were, I think, 20-5. So this is a good team, but it's a team full of role players outside of John Morant. So, you know, is that sustainable? Are they going to be able to take that all the way to the finals? But first, let's take care of round one. So round one here, do you have the Grizzlies or the Wolves?
Man, look, I mean, we talked a little bit before off camera, and I said I really like the Wolves as a playoff team, right? I really do, because NBA playoffs, what is it? The game gets a lot shorter. It's a lot more half court offense. The Wolves have a great half court offense set. I mean, I know Karl Anthony Towns let me down in my play-in preview. I said he'd be a big part of this game, and yeah, absolutely choked and bed out there. But I still think, you know, Karl Anthony Towns is still a good player. And when you run those Anthony Edwards and Karl-Anthony Towns pick and rolls, when you run those D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns pick and rolls, man, that half court set is practically impossible. I'm not going to say impossible to stop, but it's very difficult. Karl-Anthony Towns is a shooter who can stretch the floor just like Embiid, can do pick and pop, can also roll to the hoop. We know what D'Angelo Russell does with his passing. His IQ is crazy. Anthony Edwards, man, I was talking to my brother earlier, and I was just like, Anthony Edwards is just a pure scorer. He just gives buckets, man. Like, yeah. He just gives buckets like that. Like, that's just what he do. I think that every other player on that team knows their role. They're a good defensive team, man. They don't really make silly mistakes out there. I think the silliest mistake they made out there last night was Coach Chris Finch letting Karl-Anthony Towns play when he had like four fouls. I think that was the silliest mistake. But you know, on the court, you know, they really don't make silly mistakes. And so, like, I really want to go with the Wolves, man. But that would be so disrespectful to John Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies that been getting it done all season. Again, another caveat. I know I'm kind of going back and forth. Another caveat. The Grizzlies never did it though. They ain't never did it. You know, they have never proven postseason success. And while the Wolves haven't either, when I just straight up look at the team, man, I think that the Wolves are just built for a playoff. I think they're built for the playoffs. But with all that being said, I don't think Ja's going out early, man. There's no way that the Grizzlies are going out that early, man. So I'm gonna go Grizzlies in. That's a tough one, man. I'm gonna go Grizzlies in six. I'm gonna go Grizzlies in six, man. I'm gonna go Grizzlies in six. But hey, man, I'm telling you, my dog, do not sleep on a Wolf, especially when D'Lo is inconsistent. But when he brings it, we saw what happens. Malik Beasley, extremely inconsistent, but when he brings it, that's a fourth, damn near fifth scoring option for them. But can't put it past the Grizzlies. And I know you mentioned earlier about Jordan Poole, most improved. I got my guy Desmond Bane. He's just came from literally from nothing to leading the team while Ja was out for that stretch. So I'm going with the Grizzlies on this one, man. I can't disrespect the number two seed.
Desmond Bane, man, it hurts my soul every time I have to give praise to him because the Mavs could have got him. But yeah, the Grizzlies have been just sensational. Like we said, without Ja, they're 20-5. You know, that's how good they are. It just seems that they have a guy for everything. You know, and you know, if that guy's injured, then next man up, and that guy brings something else to the table that they can work with. So, you know, they're just a really well orchestrated machine the Grizzlies are this season. So it's really fun to watch them. With their youth, it's really fun. Now the Wolves, Cat, hopefully he can step up here in this round. Their defense, I'm going to count on it to be, you know, good. It's going to be youth against youth. That's the interesting part. You know, really, there's no, this team has more experience than the other. You know, really, if you look at it, the Wolves probably have more experience than the Grizzlies. It's going to be interesting. But overall, I'm going to give it to the Grizzlies. They just have better shooting, more consistency. I think that a guy like John Morant, I think that he can push them towards round two. So next up, we have two more, which are so far undecided. So we're not going to spend too much time on them. So it's going to be the Suns. I'm going to say that they're probably going to play against the Clippers, or it's going to be the Spurs or the Pelicans. I don't know about you, but I got Clippers. Who do you have?
Clippers. Yeah, I got Clippers.
Yeah. Do you see the Clippers being able to do anything against the Suns or no?
No. I mean, it would – Kawhi Leonard would have to return, and then now we can start having this conversation. But, I mean, the Suns literally had 18 losses this year. The Suns I'm here with my guy. I love talking hoop with you. I'm gonna just tell you my finals prediction, bro. Suns versus Bucks, and I think the Bucks are gonna win. Like I think the Bucks are gonna go back to back. The way they've been playing this year is insane. The way the Suns are playing this year, they got that chip on their shoulder. That's like, oh, you guys think that we just did good because we faced a hobbled team last year? Because they did. No, I don't care what nobody says.
Yeah, they did.
They faced a hobbled team literally every single playoff series. And hey, you play who's in front of you. I'm not taking nothing away from you. But this year, they're like, oh, you didn't believe in us? Let me show you something. Genuinely, my guy, they 1 through 15 seriously, like, contributes. Like, the 15th
man. Wait. You said you have the Bucks winning?
The finals, yes. I have the Bucks winning the finals.
Okay, like
I think it's going to be Suns versus Bucks in the finals, and I got the Bucks winning. I got them going back to
okay, back. Okay.
But to, you know, to touch more on the Suns, like how we were talking, man, the way they've been rolling this year has been crazy. Like, genuinely, players 1 through 15 on that roster contributes. The 15th man on that roster does something, and he adds value to that team. Monty Williams, man, so much praise and shout out to that guy. He's a great coach. The way he's been coaching them has been miraculous, especially when you take in account the whole Robert Sarver situation, the whole investigation. Bro, they stood 10 toes down and did not fold, bro. Like, I'm all the credit to the Phoenix Suns. I don't care who it is, Clippers, anybody. None of these eight seeds are touching the Suns. I think the Suns are going to the finals.
Yeah. I was actually glad that the Clippers lost tonight, because I thought that the Clippers against Suns would be a little more interesting. You know, I'm happy that Paul George is able to play. You know, it'll be fun. It'll at least make it interesting. But yeah, without Kawhi, I don't see the Clippers doing anything to the Suns. I personally don't find the Suns to be this big scary monster that everyone else seems to be. But I do have them going to the finals. I have, like I said, and just to clarify, I have probably also the Suns and Bucks in the finals again. And I also have the Bucks winning. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so the last one, we have Miami, and they either play Charlotte. Who is it?
They either play Charlotte or Atlanta, right?
Atlanta or Cleveland. Who do you think is going to have to go against Miami?
I think it's going to end up being Cleveland against Miami. And yeah, as much as I'm a big fan of that young core, that big lengthy team in Cleveland, I just don't think it's their time yet. You know, in the NBA, there's levels to this, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be a young, like, but Evan Mobley's 19. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Evan Mobley's 19. And we're expecting him to go up against the Heat, who I know it was 2 years ago. I don't care if people call it a fluke or not. The bubble was not a fluke, in my opinion. The Miami Heat went to the finals, man. And the type of experience they have, I just don't think that the Cavs are just ready for that yet. So I'm going with the Heat.
Yeah. Same here. I have the Cavs also moving on, but I don't have them moving past the Heat. The Heat are a really sneaky good team that we're gonna see. But yeah, I don't see the Cavs doing anything at all. Okay, so that's it for our round one. So next up, I just wanted to go over our all NBA teams real quick. So I want to see if you, these are my all NBA teams. So first team all NBA, they said that you can put Jokic and Embiid on the same team. I'm not going to do that. That's not how it was ever done. Jokic is not a forward, never was a forward. Embiid was never a forward. So I'm not going to put them at the option of a forward. But anyway, so first team, I have Jokic, and I have Jokic winning MVP. And then first team, I have him as the center for first team, Jokic, followed by Giannis is going to be the forward. Jason Tatum is going to be the other forward. Luka is going to be a guard. And then the second guard, I'm going to put Ja Morant. Second team, I'm going to put Joel Embiid, Kevin Durant, DeMar DeRozan as the guard, or as a forward. As the other guard, it's going to be Curry. And then after that, it is going to be, I'm going to put, I'll put Chris Paul at the second. And then third team, I'm going to go Trae Young, Pascal Siakam, Karl Anthony Towns. And then I'm going to put Booker as the other guard. And then at the final forward, I'm going to put probably Jimmy Butler. So that's who I'm going to put. Now, first thing I want to say, this whole thing where Devin Booker is an MVP candidate and a first team All-NBA, I think it's complete bullshit. Stop with this. Devin Booker is not an MVP candidate.
Agreed. He's not an MVP candidate, but not all-NBA first team?
First team, no. I'm gonna put him at third team, and this is why. We need the most valuable, impactful players on the first and second team. If you take Devin Booker out of that team, they're still going to win games, and they still won games without him. You know, they can fill in other players, and they're going to get their wins, blah, blah, blah. So that's why I don't have him, you know, first off at MVP, it's most valuable. If you put, you know, if you take Luka, for example, off the Mavs, and you put Devin Booker there, do you see the Mavs going as far as they did with Devin Booker instead of Luka? Hell no. I probably don't even have him in the play-in with Devin Booker. Devin Booker just isn't that type of player. Devin Booker proved to us for the first 7 years of his career that he's not a first option. You know, when he was a first option, he led his teams to being either number 14 or 15 in the West. So he's not good at, you know, leading a team. So, you know, Devin Booker to me is just not an All-NBA player, or excuse me, it's not a first team or second team All-NBA player. Maybe one day, if he works hard enough, he can get to second. but yeah, he's definitely not first, and he's not an MVP candidate. And I think it's honestly disrespectful to have him as an MVP candidate. But yeah, is there anyone else or any snub that you would see, or anyone specifically that you would, you know, move on that list?
All right, I'm gonna just tell you mine. All right, so yeah, so. Look, man, I agree. You know, you can't put Embiid and Jokic in the same one because it's just they didn't play. They didn't play the four. They played the five. And I feel wrong for even keeping Jokic or Embiid out of the first team.
Yeah,
but I gotta keep strong to what I've been believing in, man. So I'm gonna stay with. I'm for my first team. I got Embiid at the center. Again, like I even feel wrong for saying that, but I also feel wrong for keeping Embiid out. At the power forward, I have Giannis Antetokounmpo. Okay, at the three, hey, look, man, the team did not perform, but he performed.
LeBron James.
Hey, my guy, stop. Look, stop with the LeBron slander. Let's everybody stop with the LeBron slander. The man was 37 years old. He led the league in 30 point games. He would have won the scoring title if he would have played two more games. He just was ineligible because he didn't play enough games. LeBron James was the reason the Lakers were even relevant this year. The Lakers' issue, and I don't know if we're going to get to that a little later, but the Lakers' issue was Anthony Davis being soft. Anthony Davis not doing nothing. Anthony Davis being content after he won a championship. The problem with the Lakers is that Frank Vogel sucks as a coach, cannot run good lineups. He's a defensive coach out there trying to run with an offensive-minded roster. That roster was not defensive-sounded. They were set to be to outscore people. That's what that roster was. So I don't think Frank Vogel was the right coach. Another problem with that team was even putting Russell Westbrook on that roster. So I told you
hey, when we did you that. Did, I think you said that
lie.
Too.
I'm not gonna lie. You told me. I you know, when the trade first originally happened, I mean, we can kind of talk about this a little bit, but when the trade originally happened, I was pissed off. I was like, why in the world would you put Russell Westbrook in the same team as LeBron James? It's not going to work out. LeBron James has always historically had shooters around him. Westbrook has always historically never shot the ball well. All of these things. But then, you know, as time went on, I was like, okay, maybe what the Lakers are going to do is LeBron's 37, you know, Father Time is undefeated. Maybe they're going to rest LeBron regular season and it's going to be that Westbrook AD show and they'll go from there. But and it just wasn't that. Westbrook played like trash. AD played like trash. But I'm sorry, man, but I will accept no LeBron slander. LeBron James didn't save because he's 37. Come on, man. He's 37. And he did all he could. So I am throwing LeBron on that first team. I don't care. Luka Doncic is going to be my two. And I hear how you feel about Devin Booker. And while I agree
two horrible picks on your first team.
Listen, my guy, I agree. Devin Booker would not carry the Mavs like how Luka is carrying the Mavs. But that's because Devin Booker isn't a carry you type player. Like he is just I would say a very talented scorer, but I think that like the level that he scores at and the consistency and just the way he's playing the game out there, man, it just looks beautiful. So I hear you, everything you're saying about him, and while I agree he would not carry a roster on his own, he's a huge part of what the Suns are doing. I don't think the Suns would be where they are if they did not have Devin Booker all season.
Well, you're right. They probably wouldn't be right where they are, but they'd probably be, you know, four close. Games okay. below where they are. So, you know, when you really look at it, how much does – anyway, I'm done with the Booker thing.
let me get to my second team.
Yeah,
all right.
Go ahead.
All right, my second team at the center, I got to put Jokic, of course. I mean, sorry about that, Jokic. I got to put you there. It's got to KD's got to go at the power forward. At the small forward, I got to go Jason Tatum. You know the way he's been playing out of his mind. John Morant's got to be my two. And I know some people got Curry in there, but man, he has had a slumped season, man. So I am definitely throwing Chris Paul in there, because while everyone has been out here saying me being the first one, LeBron's 37. So CP3. CP3 is also 37. CP3 is also up there in age.
Yep.
And he's getting it done on a ridiculous level. I mean, we just talked about the Suns.
They're better than LeBron, really, when it comes to getting it done, team wise.
I mean, he has a better roster. He had a better team.
True.
He had a better team. He had a healthier team. I mean, his most important player didn't play 40 games, right? Anthony Davis played 40 games. That's an issue. So I gotta give it to CP. So CP is my starting guard for the second team, and for that third team, I got Curry at the one, Trae Young, DeMar DeRozan. I know some people might not be feeling this, man, but Pascal Siakam, man, I think he's been balling.
He's been balling out, man.
And then, as much as this is gonna sound crazy after this last game, but Karl Anthony Towns would be on my five, man, because he's 60 point games. He's been doing his thing. As much as he let down this game, Karl Anthony Towns is still a bad guy, I think.
But did it really surprise you that Karl Anthony Towns didn't show up tonight?
Yes, I mean, to be really did. I honestly, I'm gonna tell you like this. My co-host told me the Clippers need to be extremely aggressive with Karl Anthony Towns, because, you know, get him in his feelings. He's a bit soft. Mm-hmm. And while I agree, he's soft. Get him in his feelings, and he definitely was out there getting exposed. He is head and heels and feet and everything you could think of above Zubac, above Robert Covington, above Isaiah Hartenstein, above everybody. I think the reason why he struggled so much is because Ty Lue is such a damn genius, mm-hmm. and just ran this Nicholas Batum lineup where Zubac came, he would come off ball double every single time, and that was and that was really working. But I mean, before the game, man, if I'm not in Ty Lue's brain, if I'm just looking at the matchup, I think Karl Anthony Towns is eating those guys. So I was surprised he didn't have that like that good of a game, because he did the AD like you're big enough to be in there feasting, but you're over here posting up in the wing, but you're over here taking threes. Like, man, what are you doing?
Yeah. Don't even, we'll get into the Lakers here in a sec. Okay, so that's our all NBAs, and then finally, before we get to Lakers, I just wanted to talk about the MVP. Who do you have at MVP for you? Actually, who are your top five MVP candidates?
Ooh, okay, all right, top five. All right, so definitely number one. I mean, in my opinion, definitely number one has got to be Embiid. The reason why I'm going to go with that is because, I mean, he led the league in scoring. Like, no center has did that since Shaq. I think that's a huge feat of its own, man. I think that's really a changing vital point in the game of where the game's going. He also posted a career low turnover rate and a career best assist rate, man. And I think that's extremely impressive. And like earlier, also like how I mentioned to you, I think his dominance presence on both ends, like you wouldn't be like, nobody would look at you crazy if you said I got Embiid for MVP, and then nobody would look at you crazy if you said I got Embiid for Defensive Player of the Year, because that's really how good he was out there. And I think that kind of dominance is not you don't really see that with too many other players except a player named Giannis Antetokounmpo, but we'll get to him. Another thing I wanted to, you know, it kind of helps Embiid in his case is he had to deal with the prima donna Ben Simmons, man. I mean, bro, I mean, you know how I feel about Ben Simmons. I think he man, I just hate that guy, man. Like, I just hate that guy. He had to deal with the prima donna, yet I don't, and as much as like media was going to the team, as much as like things that were going on that team, Joel Embiid kept it solid, you know, kept doing his thing and kept providing for that team. Just like how Monty Williams and the whole Robert Sarver situation, I think that needs some credit. And then I also want to mention Joel Embiid really changed his game once James Harden came, and like in a matter of like a couple of games before James Harden got there, Joel Embiid had a lot of post touches. He was really just kind of posting up every time the double would come, that he'd find the right pass to make. Now he's running a lot more pick and rolls. He's just really changed his game, like within a matter of a couple of games. And to me, man, I think that's a huge point that's, you know, got to be given to him. And yeah, I mean, I just think his dominance is just, he's been one of those things that I haven't seen. I didn't get to watch much of Shaq playing, much of the dominant Shaq, and I'm only 23, so I didn't get to watch much of dominant Shaq. But I just, my entire lifetime, I don't think I've ever seen somebody this dominant who can do it on all floors and everywhere. So that's what I got as my number one. Do you want to bounce off, or you want me to just go my whole list?
Yeah, I'll bounce off real quick. So would you say that Harden coming to or going to Philadelphia, would you say that actually helped his chances or lowered them?
I mean, I don't know, man. I'm not a big fan of, like, because I feel like MVP is it has a little bit to do with your team, but it's also a bit of an individual award. So that's why I don't think that James Harden coming to the team should affect Joel Embiid's case, because I don't like, what, like, are we gonna like get on Joel Embiid because he wanted a better teammate so he can win, right? Like, I don't think that's fair to do. But I also understand the other point. My co-host says that that's a big knock on him, and I get it. You know, I get it. Jokic did it literally with nobody. I get it. Mm-hmm. That makes it more impressive. But I just don't think that should be a reason that, like, oh, okay, because James Harden went to the 76ers, I'm going to give it to Nikola Jokic, in my opinion.
Okay. Yep, that's all I wanted to know off of that. Okay, you can keep going with your list.
Okay, I got Jokic. Jokic would be my number two.
Oh, well, actually, you know what? You went first, so let me do mine, and then we'll go like that. So you did your number one, your MVP is Jokic, or excuse me, is Embiid. I'm sorry. Yeah. Mine is going to be Jokic, just because, you know, like we said earlier, Jokic's team is trash. You take Jokic off, it's who does it have?
They're not, they're not even making a play-in.
Yeah, I mean, Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr., they've just been out. Michael Porter Jr. was in for what, maybe like 10 games at the most. So he didn't get any help at all season long. He makes everyone, he legitimately makes everyone around him better. So that's a big, you know, when you look at LeBron, does he really make guys around him better? I would, no. You would say so. The only person that he has ever helped get up in contract wise and stuff like that is a guy maybe like Tristan Thompson, but making them better. Look at Chris Bosh. Look at Kevin Love. You know, all these guys. Kyrie Irving left because he can't stand being around the guy. I mean, LeBron just has a lot of baggage, is what I'm saying. And you know, Jokic led the team in every statistical category. He has the top PER in NBA history. You know, and then people say, well, you know, Jokic is six seed, so how can you give the MVP to six seed? He's just a couple games off of Embiid. You know, Embiid is the Sixers are what, third seed? I think they're like three or four games off. I mean, the Nuggets won maybe like three or four games less than the Sixers. So is it really that big of a deal? So yeah, so for me, it's Jokic. I think he's incredible. I think he's a maestro with the hand in his. He to me, he's just a bigger, slower Luka, even though Luka is already pretty big and slow. but yeah, Jokic to me is just incredible, and he would be back-to-back MVP for me. But okay, your turn.
All right, my number two, I would have to go Jokic. Again, you really can't go wrong with in my opinion, Jokic and Embiid.
Yeah.
You listed all the reasons, and there's just thousands and thousands more. And again, I just think the most impressive thing is MPJ and Michael Porter, MPJ and Jamal Murray being out and him still doing this, man. This is ridiculous. It's, I mean, an opposing team knows who's going to get it done, yet it still gets done. It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
Shout out Jokic, man.
Yep. Okay, so I won't really follow up because I think we already talked about Jokic. So next up, who do you have? I'm going to guess you have Giannis.
Yes, I got Giannis, man. I got Giannis. Just when we talk about pure dominance, sheer just like getting it done, it's got to be him, man. I remember a couple of I believe it was like a couple of weeks ago, Giannis played the 76ers and got a big win, had a huge performance.
Block at the end.
Exactly. Big win, huge performance. And then next game played the Brooklyn Nets. And while I agree KD might not be up for MVP because he's just kind of went down, just kind of didn't really have as much flow. But we know who KD is. You know what I'm saying? We know who KD is, and we know who the Nets are. And Giannis came out, big game, big W. And in my opinion, that was like one of those stamping points. That's like, man, I'm here and I'm here to stay. So I just unfortunately think it's got to be Embiid's year. So Giannis falls to the third because Jokic has just been ridiculous as well too.
Yeah, I mean Giannis was neck and neck right there with Embiid and Jokic like 2 weeks ago. So it's, I mean, that right there tells you how, you know, close this MVP race has been. I mean, you pretty much hit everything on Giannis. I mean, he's kind of like Jokic, where he, you know, seems to lead his whole team in every statistical category. His defense, I mean, he's not only is he an MVP candidate, but he's a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. So he's incredible. Okay, and after Giannis, who do you have?
LeBron. I'm just kidding.
Oh,
just
my kidding. God. I was about
I'm
to say.
Kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm just messing with you.
I was about to flip.
I know. You're about to be like.
Yeah.
I'm just playing. No, I'm just playing my dog. I got your guy. I got Luka, man. He just. What does Luka not do out there, man? Hobble team, not hobble team. Yeah, I talk about it all the time in the podcast. Luka Doncic is one of those. In the NBA, there's not those guys anymore that just carry teams all the way to the finals, because just the NBA is just not like that anymore. Just one guy is just simply is not able to do it. You need two or three solid, good, solid players around him to be able to be able to get it done. But if anybody was going to do it, it'd be Luka. The man does everything. The man literally does everything out there. Unfortunately, I'll definitely go through my list, but I think it's a two-man race. You know, I don't think anybody else has. Like, I think they have a 1% chance, but I think it's a two-man race clearly between Jokic and Embiid. But I mean, as we go through the list, Luka's definitely, he's had an MVP type year, but unfortunately, like, the level that Jokic and Embiid's been at has just been a whole different. It's just been on another planet. That it's just not fair to these other players. And it's like, hey, you know, good job. Like, here's a participation medal. But you can't beat these guys over here. So shout out Luka, man, because he's been getting it done. Are you right there with me, or what's up?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I got Luka also fourth. I mean, what can I say? Literally every day I wake up thankful that I have Luka Doncic on my team. That's one of the first things I think of. I sit up in my bed and I immediately think of Luka in a Mavs jersey, and I just shed a tear.
Okay, but wait, let me ask you this real quick, because now that we are here talking, the whole draft night thing, the whole Trae Young and Luka, the whole swap, are you happy? You good? Like,
You
no remorse? You wouldn't have wanted Trae?
Absolutely not. And I know that the Hawks are mad that they didn't get Luka. If you ask him at the end of the day, who would they rather have, Luka or Trae? I know for damn sure that they would pick Luka, even if it's by like a tiny little percentage. You know, you just can't go wrong with Luka. Luka is, passing wise, he's right there with LeBron. I mean, he's the only guy. Well, Jokic and Luka are, you know, right up there with LeBron. They're the only two. Trae Young is also up there, but he's not up there with those guys. And then, you know, Luka scoring wise, I think Luka is the most unstoppable scorer in the league. I don't care who he's right there with Kevin Durant. But Luka, he's so strong. It's amazing how strong he is. I mean, anytime he goes in the post or anything like that, you know, you don't see him, you know, using that much force or, you know, that much energy. And you can see on the screen how much strength he has. And he's not even trying that hard, is what I mean. You know, I mean, he's just incredible. You know, his confidence. I mean, he's been doing this since he was 14 years old. He's been a professional player. So, you know, he lives for these big moments. You know, Luka, he's just absolutely incredible. And like I said, I'm thankful every day that he's a Maverick. Okay, so last guy that you have on your list is,
man, it could go a lot of ways, man. Like, you could throw Jason Tatum in there. Although I'm not the type of guy that likes to be a prisoner of the moment. I remember the beginning of the season. I remember how it was playing. You could go John Morant. Again, I just don't think he's necessarily that close. So
when your team is 20-5 without you, I don't think that you're the most valuable player.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I'm gonna go with the guy who kind of been holding up this team and doing it all. In my opinion, not doing it all, but while his team was, you know, players were out, he held them up, and he's just been scoring a ridiculous amount, And people went to the threes. He stayed in the mid range. Just DeMar DeRozan, man.
Okay.
The way he's been playing has been ridiculous. Every time that Zach LaVine's been out, every time that Vucevic just simply choked and hasn't performed, DeMar has stepped up in literally every single way possible, man. So just got to give some praises to DeMar. But it's once we get to like the number five, like, those guys have 0% chance of winning. But I mean, if we're making a list here, DeMar is definitely there.
Yeah, I agree. And yeah, these after Embiid and Jokic, no one is even realistically close. But you know, it's in the voting, in when they do MVP voting, you know, they have the top five. So that's why we're going by that. But yeah, DeRozan is a great pick. I didn't go with him just because, you know, at the end of the day, it is about winning, and they just have not been able to beat good teams. I don't know what it is about it. Like I said, it's Lonzo. I think that, you know, they need to have Lonzo. He's the one that, you know, fits everything perfectly. But yeah, DeRozan is a good one. He definitely carried his team. You know, he didn't carry it, but, you know, he was a big part of it. That's for sure. I was astounded at how well DeRozan worked out in Chicago. I did not think it was going to be that great. I thought that it was a mistake by the Bulls. I didn't think that it was going to work out next to Zach LaVine. I thought that they paid DeRozan too much. I just didn't think it was a good idea, and it turned out to be great. So hopefully next year they come back and they can be healthy throughout the whole season, and hopefully we can see their full potential. But yeah, so you went with DeRozan. I went with Tatum. You know, it is kind of like you said, you know, Tatum earlier in the year, he did get criticism. You know, is he going to work out with Jaylen Brown? I think at one point they were 21 and 23, 23, something like that. And after they were 23, that's when they went on this run. But, you know, if I am going to say that about Tatum, I have to say that about Luka, because Luka also came into the season very out of shape. You know, he had, even though he was out of shape and not playing well, he was averaging 25, 9, and 9, which is crazy to think that that is not a good, those aren't good numbers for Luka, 25, 9, and 9. But, you know, Luka came back and he's been absolutely incredible. In the year 2022, Luka and Tatum, they both were the ones that led their teams, and they were the two hottest teams in the NBA starting January 1st all the way up to today. So those are the two that I'm going to put for my last two spots. So yeah, and then the last thing that I wanted to talk about before we go is since you are a Laker fan, I just want to go ahead and talk about the Lakers just for a brief second, like we did earlier. Now, anything that you have to get off your chest, or what do you think the Lakers need to do? You already gave us a little sneak peek, which, by the way, I'm going to talk after you, and I'm going to tell you why I absolutely agree with everything that you've said so far. But if you were running the Lakers, what would you do, or what do you think needs to be done with this team? What do you need to do to become the Lakers again?
Absolutely. So I think they started. They're on the right path. You got rid of Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel, you know, he did it in Indiana. Shout out him, whatever. He wasn't the coach of this team. This team was built to be an offensive-minded team. He didn't run the greatest lineups at really almost every game. I watched every single Laker game this season, and I found myself scratching my head saying, why in the world is Trevor Ariza playing more minutes than Stanley Johnson, who's been proving himself out there? Why in the world is Trevor Ariza even on this roster, to be real with you? Yeah. Trevor Ariza is washed. He did not do a single thing out there.
Earlier in the season, when they were really bad, and they were like, no, just wait, Trevor Ariza, he's injured when he comes back. It's like, get out of here. That was so, but yeah, go ahead. But yeah, Trevor Ariza.
Yeah, I didn't understand that at all. But what I really didn't understand was Frank Vogel continuously giving Trevor Ariza these chances and playing him over players like Stanley Johnson, players like Austin Reeves, who were getting it done, man. So that's one issue. Frank Vogel, all right, that's solved. Got him out of here. In my opinion, what the Lakers need to do is, I say this all the time on my podcast. Look, man, like I am, I love the NBA. I love the players that are playing. I'm not big into like, I don't know all the coaches out there. So and that's not on me. That's on Rob Pelinka. Rob Pelinka need to do that. That's his job to figure out the right coach, but at least if you're going to have a team built to be an offensive minded team, let's get an offensive minded coach. Let's not get a defensive minded coach out there. If you want to have a defensive minded team, that's okay. But that's not what we have right now. So let's get at least what we need. So that's number one. Number two, Russell Westbrook, man, bro. I mean, look, I don't think it's like the Monstars. I don't think he like lost his hit. I think he's still a good player. But it just didn't fit with him this year. Like, he cannot take a backseat. He doesn't understand that he's just like, you're open for a reason, my guy. Like, you're leaving open for a reason, dog. Stop shooting that. Stop shooting that. And they're leaving open for a reason. He's the type of player where he needs the ball in his hands and he needs the whole team to just baby to him for him to be good. And like, we saw him in OKC just be, I don't think that his MVP season was a fluke. I think that was shit was ridiculous. Averaging a triple double was insane. Shout out him. But like, again, like the team wasn't very good. So the team just did whatever Russ wanted. Right. So like, okay, you can put up numbers, but not win. The Lakers are a winning franchise. We're not here to put up numbers. The Lakers, in my opinion, are, I know some people will say the Celtics, but I think the Lakers are the best franchise in NBA history, and might be a homer pick because I'm a Lakers fan, but Russell Westbrook was just out there just playing terrible, man. Like, open for a reason. That's another problem. Russell Westbrook. Now, what I think was one of the bigger issues is Anthony Davis. I am not a body language doctor. But I watched every single Laker game of every single season. I saw Anthony Davis in the 2020 and I saw Anthony Davis this year. It's two different people. It's just not the same player. It's just not the same player. One was extremely dominant. One would have babies on him and he would post up, feast down low, be able to find an open man, get to the free throw line. And then the one this year would have Tyler Hero on him and he'd be taking a one-footed step fadeaway or like a one-footed fadeaway when like Tyler Hero is guarding him. It's just, and in my opinion, all that is a lack of motivation. I think he won his championship and he was straight. He won his championship and he was like, man, I'm good. I made it to the top of the mountain. Yep. And as a Laker fan, and I don't want people to think like, I don't believe in AD. I still think that when AD brings it, he's arguably the best big in the league. When he brings it, that is a big if and when he brings it, he's arguably the best big in the league. He can literally do everything on the court, but it's when is he going to bring it? And I really hope that this embarrassment of a season, the Lakers should not, I think one of the greatest franchises should not be missing the damn, the play-in is to help people get the top 10 teams get in. And you missed
two thirds of the league.
You missed that, right? You missed. And again, I don't want nobody to turn this around and be like, oh, wow, it's on LeBron. No, LeBron did everything in God's green earth to try to save this season. But you can't. If you're a star player, your other player that is supposed to be your guy, your homie, my partner in crime, if he's not bringing it. And he just keeps going down with injuries. Like, man, I'm telling you, dog, every time I watch AD hit the floor, I'd be cringing every time he hit the floor. So look, man, injury prone. He didn't bring it in the games that he was there. And then also another thing that I want to add is LeBron was, again, 37. I don't care what nobody says. He's 37. Father Time is undefeated. He should have won the scoring title. Didn't play enough games. He gets tired. He's a only human being. Mm-hmm. Yes, I get it. He's LeBron. I know a lot of people don't agree, but in my opinion, literally the greatest player to ever play touch a basketball. And he gets tired though.
What?
Bro, come on, bro. Longevity. Nobody did. Jordan at this age.
Longevity. Longevity.
Okay. Longevity. Changing the game. Jordan wasn't a passer like him. Okay. Jordan was a scorer, but Jordan never had.
Jordan's averaged 6 assists for his career. So
LeBron led the league in assists the 2020 year with like almost a 9 assists.
Yeah, but I'm just saying. Jordan was a legitimate 2, you know, he wasn't a distributor, you know. LeBron calls himself that. He's LeBron, not even, he doesn't LeBron think of himself as a scorer. Yeah, LeBron, I know.
LeBron LeBron doesn't think of himself as a scorer and led the league in scoring this year. I just want to put that out there. But look,
well, that's because that's also because that was his goal. You know, he couldn't care less about the actual season after a certain point. So all he cared about was scoring.
Well, why? Well, see, I don't agree with that, because if that was the case, then he would have played two, because he could have simply played two more games and won the scoring title easily.
Well, yeah,
that was what he wanted to do, but he didn't. He chose to sat out two games.
Yeah, because he saw the criticism he was getting. If you turned on shows like First Take and Undisputed, all they were talking about was, well, if LeBron plays these next two games after they were just eliminated and he goes all out trying to score a bunch of points, he's gonna look so bad. LeBron saw that, and that's why he even had to tweet, I'm out, or whatever. He wasn't gonna play the last two games. He even said something like, that's whack or something like that, if I play the last two games. But I know for a fact that he would have played those two games and he would have tried to score as many points as possible in those last two games if he didn't hear all of that, all those narratives in the media saying that he shouldn't play. That's the only reason he didn't do it. And that's the only reason why he didn't finish with the scoring title, because he had to play those two games. But yeah, LeBron definitely, at a certain point, all he cared about was his scoring, because A, he wanted to be the scoring, get the scoring title, and B, he wanted to pass Kareem. And you cannot get that out of my mind. Now, I'm sorry. Are you done with the Lakers?
My last point would just be that LeBron James, again, did everything on God's green earth to try to save this team, but he would dominate, and for the, you know, a couple of months, he'd get tired, and then finally when AD comes back, then LeBron gets a little knick-knack injury. They didn't really get much time on the court, man. But again, I want all this. I don't want people to think like, oh, okay, so if they get time on the court, they're straight. No, there's a lot of things that needs to get fixed. But I will add this, man. If LeBron and Anthony Davis play together, okay, and there's nothing that nobody can tell me to change my mind. LeBron and Anthony Davis got to play together, they would be in the playoffs without a doubt in my mind. If LeBron and Anthony Davis got to play together, they would be in the playoffs, because you can't tell me that the 2020 year was a fluke. It just wasn't. The 2020 year, Frank Vogel still sucked as a coach. The reason Lakers won a championship is because nobody could hold LeBron, nobody could hold AD. That's the reason they won. That's the reason they won. But I firmly believe that if the Lakers would have had a chance to have a healthy roster and have LeBron and AD actually play, they would have been in the playoffs, man. But a lot of problems, bro. But at the end of the day, they didn't get it done. That's not where we are. So we got to deal with the reality. Defense needs to get fixed up. But I mean, the first problem got fixed, man, getting Frank Vogel out.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with everything you said. Yes, if LeBron and AD were healthy, absolutely, they would have made the playoffs. I think that they would have beat the Suns last season in the playoffs, and the Suns would have never even got to the finals. That's why I think the whole Suns in the finals last season was a complete, every team they played. But anyways, I agree with what you said. AD is way too soft. He is not meant for the Lakers. I agree completely. After he won the championship, he didn't care. He thought, well, so what? You know, I'm already the best, or what? I don't know what mentality, but he got the job done, and he didn't want to do anything else after that, you know. So yeah, I agree. You need to trade AD quick, because his value.
Whoa. Trade AD?
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Absolutely. Whoa. You need to do that now.
You don't think give him a chance? If he's motivated, he's still Anthony Davis. He's still arguably the best big man in the league.
How is he motivated? How are you going to motivate him?
Well, losing, not making the play-in.
He doesn't care. He's been losing his whole career.
Oh, what? No.
His whole career?
No, he's been losing his whole career, yes. But now that he's a champion, can't nobody take that away from him. He knows what it feels like. And now for him, 2 years later, to not even make the play-in, to have to be sitting at home watching the playoffs, in my opinion, I think that's going to light a fire up in him. And if anything, it's going to light an even bigger fire in LeBron to be like, hey, bro, if you don't get your together, like, you really gone. And I don't know, man. I mean, I hear what you're saying with trading, but I just, like, who are you going to get? Unless you get Embiid, unless you get Jokic, it's not – you lose it.
You're not getting any of that for AD.
Yeah, exactly. So you're losing if you're not getting those two guys.
AD to me is not that type of player that, oh, you know, I'm going to come back next season stronger than ever. He doesn't come off to me as that guy. And you can see it. Watch any game where the Lakers are down by whatever points, where they're being humiliated, and he doesn't seem to care. You know, he's just out there, whatever. Like, he's just not that type of player to me. Maybe I'm wrong, but I haven't seen it his whole career, and he's been in the league for almost 10 years or already 10 years. But yeah, you need to trade ASAP. His injuries are not getting any better. All you need is one more big injury and you guys are screwed. You need to get rid of AD quick. You can get some nice values. You can get some good players. You can get some picks out of it. You can get some youth out of it, which is something that the Lakers definitely need. I think you need to trade AD. You already got a coach. Next thing you need to do is get Kurt and Linda Rambis out of there and stop advising Jeannie Buss. You know, that guy is giving her advice, and his record as a coach is like 30-126 or something like that. And he's advising Jeannie Buss, telling her how to build a team. That's ridiculous. So get him out. But yeah, you need to trade AD. You need to trade Russ. If you had to pick one, I would actually keep Russ and I would trade AD. Russ is an expiring contract, so you can get a lot of teams are going to see some value in that. So you can trade him for even more coming down the line, like before the trade deadline, stuff like that, or the season after. I don't think that the Lakers are going to be able to turn it all around in one season. But yeah, the main thing to me is trade AD, trade Russ, or use Russ as some sort of asset. Contract wise, not player wise. But yeah, I mean, those are the two things. And get young. They have to get young, because these old guys who used to be Hall of Famers, but now they're completely washed up, that's not going to work. But yeah, to me, it's really just trade those two big guys. Get the biggest damage to your salary cap. You need to bring that down. And you need to keep the one that's valued the most, which is LeBron, obviously. So get rid of the other two. But yeah, I think that's what the Lakers need to do.
Man, yeah, I mean, they could go a lot of ways. I'm just happy at least Frank Vogel's out the picture.
Yeah. All right, man. So is there anything else that we need to touch on before getting out of here?
No, man. No, I appreciate you having me on here, man. It was a great time. Every time we catch up, man, it's a great conversation. Great yep. talking to you, man. And yeah, I appreciate it, man. And for, you know, for everybody listening, I appreciate if you guys gonna check out my podcast, man. It's a Clutch Talk, man, and Instagram, TikTok, Twitter. It's at Clutch Talk Pod. So, you know, check us out, man. We drop two episodes per week, man. We're always just talking about the NBA talk show. And hey, man, I appreciate you having me on here, and I would love to come back anytime possible.
Yeah, man. Yeah, everyone, make sure to listen to the Clutch Talk podcast. I will also talk about it in the intro and after, so don't worry about that. I'll definitely plug you. But yeah, I'm also going to be posting two episodes a week. Maybe, you know, now that it's the playoffs, maybe we can do a couple episodes together throughout the playoffs. I think that'd be fun. Yeah, absolutely. So let's do that. But all right, guys, that's all I have for you. Thank you so much, John, for coming on the Big Shot Pod. We really appreciate it. It's like you said, it's always fun to have you on. It had been a while. I haven't been able to post a podcast in like 2 months because my voice had been gone that whole 2 months and it just came back. So thank you so much, John, for coming on the Big Shot Pod. Thank you. And we will speak to you next time.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, man.
No problem, man.
All righty. Thank you, NBA fans, for listening to the podcast. Thank you, John, over at Clutch Talk. Great episode. Great talk. Thank you so much. Everyone, all my listeners, please go over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Go to Google Podcasts. They're on YouTube. Basically, any platform you can think of, go on there, search Clutch Talk, and give them a follow, give them a listen. They have great content. So thank you so much, John, for coming on the podcast. And yeah, this was a really great podcast. Again, I just want to give you guys a heads up that I will be posting twice a week from now on, especially since it's the playoffs. I might even throw in a little emergency podcast here and there, you know, if anything big happens. But yeah, I just want to say thank you to everyone. Thank you to John over at Clutch Talk. Thank you to my listeners for sticking in there. I'm sorry that I took so long to post again. I'm sorry that my voice was not cooperating, but I promise I'm back. I will be here on the regular, like I said, twice a week. The Big Shot Pod will be posting. Again, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, please head over to Twitter and hit us up. Our Twitter is at the Big Shot Pod. Like I said, questions, comments, concerns, anything you got, shoot us a DM, mention us, whatever you got to do to get our attention, do it. And I promise that we will address whatever you need us to address on the next podcast. But yeah, thank you again so much for listening to the Big Shot Pod. As always, I am your host, Shabba Baja. You guys have a great night. You know, man.